We're going to get started in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk to you about Anchor by Spotify. It is the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. This is what I use for my podcast, and it is fantastic. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Show. Glad to have you with me today. Thank you so much for joining this conversation. And I'm excited about the guests that we have on today and the conversation that we will have. Looking forward to that. Before we jump into that, though, I want to remind you, if you're listening to the show either at Mojo 5.0 or on the podcast platforms, thank you for doing that. Make sure you subscribe wherever it is you're listening from so that you're notified when the next episode comes online. Want to make sure that you are notified as soon as that comes out, and hope that you will stay in contact there. After the show, after you get done listening to this, take some time, go over to YouTube. You can find my channel there. Jeremy Stalnicker is my name. Jeremy Stalnicker is the name of the channel. Go ahead and find that and subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Share that content out if you think it would be helpful to someone else. That would be fantastic. Any other information that you would like about me, I have a blog. On that blog, all of my social contacts, just about everything about me is there. JeremyStalnicker.com. Check that out. That would be fantastic. And again, I appreciate you joining me today. Looking forward to this conversation and our guest today. One of the topics, maybe the topic, that I spend the most time thinking about and trying to understand is the topic of trauma. Life trauma. For those of you that listen to this show, you know that I work for an organization called the Mighty Oaks Foundation, and we serve basically three communities. We serve the veteran community, the active duty military community, those who are currently serving, and the first responder community, which is pretty broad. We also do our best to serve their families, and most of what we talk about related to our serving them is trauma. Trauma either related to their service, maybe for their country, and if they're in the military, or to their communities, if they're in the first responder community. Maybe it's trauma that they experienced before they put on a uniform, but they carried into their military or first responder service, and that has now had other ramifications in their lives. Trauma, it's something that we talk about a lot, something that I think about a lot, and something that I have the opportunity to approach as we, again, serve these communities, to approach from the perspective of Scripture, a faith perspective. Some might say it's a faith-based perspective, whatever phrase you use. What we do is we start with acknowledging that God is outside of time and space, that He's bigger than us, that He is transcendent, that God created us for a purpose, that He has a plan for our lives, and that in spite of the traumas and the trials and the difficulties and the obstacles that we experience, God still has a plan and a purpose for our lives. That living brings trauma, that trials and obstacles come to all of us. That's why this show is called the March or Die Show. Again, if you've listened to a couple of episodes, you know that our premise is simple. In life, you can stay where you are and die, just giving up emotionally, spiritually, relationally, or you can march, putting one foot in front of the other, moving toward that place that God created you to be. You can do that, but it's a choice you need to make. Trauma is not something that needs to prevent you from moving forward unless you allow it to. But understanding all of that through the lens of God is, He created, He has a plan and a purpose for our life, and He's given us the Bible to follow and align our lives to, it changes the conversation. Now, I know that that perspective is difficult for a lot of people to accept. On one side, there are those who would call themselves Christians that would deny that anything else, any other treatments, any other therapies, anything else can be helpful as it relates to trauma. And then there's the other side that says faith and scripture and God have no place. I'm always grateful when I can talk to someone that can articulate how the starting point is God and how that helps us to move through the help that we need to get to the place that we really need to be in spite of the traumas of life. My guest today does that. His name is Josh Holler. Josh has written a book called Redeeming Warriors, Veteran Suicide Grieving and the Fight for Faith. And in that book, he uses his experience as a United States Marine serving in combat, coming home and finding his way into ministry and now serving in ministry, uses those experiences to help us understand how, in spite of our traumas, in spite of our trials, in spite of our difficulties and obstacles, we can live a purposeful, hope-filled life. And I'm so thankful for this conversation. I know that it will be an encouragement to you. I also know that there's someone in your life that needs to hear this conversation. Please, when it's over, share it out, get it out to the folks that need it, and that would be fantastic. Again, thank you for joining me, and I trust that this conversation with Josh Holler will be an encouragement to you. Josh Holler, appreciate you being with me today. Thanks for taking some time, man.
Absolutely, man. Pleasure to be on the show today.
We were connected through a mutual friend, Gabe Wrench, over at Cross Politic, and he's been on these shows several times, and thankful for his friendship, but really glad he would connect us. We have not the same background, but a similar background. We've kind of covered some of the same ground. You were in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines.
That's right.
29 Palms. That's a terrible place to grow up.
It is. Everything is uphill after there, though.
Everything is uphill after there. It's funny when I, so I was going through the process of my commission. I was able to choose, or not choose. You don't choose in the Marine Corps, but I was able to put down three choices, and my number one choice was 29 Palms, because I was told that real Marines train in 29 Palms, and then I had the opportunity to visit 29 Palms, and I realized this is a terrible place. It's a terrible place.
But I heard it described the seventh ring of hell. When once the BC was trying to convince people to reenlist, and he said, give me one reason to leave the Marine Corps. And somebody sarcastically in the back said, I want to see grass again.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's awesome. I was at 5th Marines at Camp Pendleton, and we were on the coast, a very different environment, but we spent many, many painful months out in the desert. Really appreciate what you're doing now, and what you do now speaks to me, because really I've experienced and worked through God bringing together my military service, my ministry background, and my ministry service together to serve those who are struggling, having come out of the military. And with the organization that we have, Mighty Oaks, we work with veterans, of course, active duty service members, first responders, many of those who are dealing with trauma. And so much we could talk about, but you just wrote a book on this that was released at the end of last year. The book is called Redeeming Warriors. And the tagline is Veteran Suicide, Grieving, and the Fight for Faith. There it is. And I'll encourage everyone at the end of the show again to go and find that. It's available just about everywhere, I think. It looks like you can find it anywhere. And I went to Amazon. But Redeeming Warriors, and I love this. This is the way that you describe maybe your approach to trauma and your explanation of this. PTS or post-traumatic stress is not born out of exposure to trauma, but broken relationships between people and God. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it is. PTSD is definitely, and trauma is the factor, the catchphrase that kind of sucks the air out of the room when we talk about veteran suicide in particular. And it's hard because on one hand, it's certainly true that guys have experienced trauma. There's a higher rate of suicide. It's also harder when talking about veteran suicide, at least, to get past the fact that most people who that are taking their lives at, like, the point of global war and terrorism, GWAT, actually have never seen combat or haven't been deployed.
Right.
But nevertheless, getting this horizontal dimension of a broken relationship, the ultimate broken relationship we must deal with is that with our Creator, with God. And so much that happens in this world of the military and veteran suicide PTSD. There's this worldview operating behind it. I want to get, at least in the book, I wanted to get back to a biblical lens to look at the military through that, those spectacles.
When I got involved in the work that I do, it took me a while. Even I was serving on a pastoral staff for a while. I was pastoring a church for a while. I knew what the Bible said about trauma. I spent a lot of time in Psalms and read through this and tried to understand it. But then applying what I knew of Scripture to what I was being told about the military experience and even coming from the military, it took me a while to understand how those two dimensions connected, the spiritual with the physical, to understand trauma as something that we experience, that everyone experiences. Something like 70% of Americans will experience a clinically diagnosable traumatic event. I can't say the word traumatic event at some point in their lives. So it's something we all experience. But I had a hard time bringing those two things together. And it wasn't until I was confronted with the reality that many of the men that I had served with not only were dealing with trauma, some had taken their lives, broken relationships in their families, that I had to figure it out. And that was a journey for me. Can you talk a little bit about that journey for you? Coming through the military, you're now in ministry and counseling ministry and bringing all of that together. What did that look like for you to come to that point?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was one of these guys. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm not sure if I was a Christian. Maybe I was, but I was definitely living a rebellious, at least in terms of the faith, lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I joined the military because I wanted my freedom. Really, when I think back on it, I knew that the military, I wasn't going to get freedom. But I wanted to go roll around in my sin, and I didn't want people that knew me from back home to know me my new context. I want a new set of friends to go do what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
which is just super ironic because 4 years of not doing what I wanted to do, being told to do yes, Lance Corporal, yes sir, you know everything, yes sir, and so forth. Really, what merging those two worlds, the physical, spiritual, my story, it was. The time in the military was bittersweet. Super thankful for my time, thankful for the friendships, thankful for the benefits that have come, been able to go to school and seminary. But the bitter was not just like in hardships that happened during the time, but it's with the loss of friends during my time. And then coming off of active duty with 10 as of last month have guys that I knew that have taken their own life. And so where I began to interrogate and look back on my 4 years and question, you know, what just happened? How do I make sense of these 4 years? I'm sitting like many, many enlisted guys. Suddenly they're like Happy Gilmore or no, Billy Madison, going back to school, sitting around all these adolescent kids that are looking for their safe place and feeling extremely disconnected, very lonely, very separated from God. And then getting a phone call, I had a friend, his name is Yun, that took his own life. And then it just started, it was just like once a year, another guy, another 2 year, 3 year. And so at least for me, that was one of the, is a catalyst to go back to my faith and ask, what do I really believe? Do I really believe this? Do I really believe that there is a transcendent authority in God that gives meaning and purpose to all things? Do I really believe that if he's good, that things like veterans, like suicide can happen? And do I still believe in his benevolent character? At least that was at least part of my journey. And where it led me is over a lot, many, many years was through college, ended up at a Christian college and on to seminary and into ministry. And I remember just sitting back at some point and thinking like, I mean, somebody needs to write a book about this. Like from a Christian perspective, we've got a lot of, Jeremy, I don't know if you've seen that. I'm sure you've seen this on Facebook. You know, you get like the Wish and Etsy, you know, advertisements, but then they'll come up like the ministries, or I wouldn't call it a ministry, but a nonprofit, like Tell Valhalla Project.
Right.
Dude, I don't know about you, but like that is one of the things that it burns in my bones to see that. On one hand, I'm thankful. Super thankful people want to remember and memorialize that have died. On the second hand, I look at that and I see that is it's a mythical place.
Right.
That has no objective grounding. And we have the truth of Scripture.
Right.
And I want to stand in the truth of Scripture and translate that message to my military friends.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I see that hashtag, or even in comments, someone will say that we just lost a brother, till Valhalla. And Christian people, it's a very strange thing to me, and it's so hopeless and empty that I agree. We need to confront that. When you're talking about, these issues, one of the struggles that we have is taking the clinical and applying, the scriptural. And I've gone through a process of, I'll say growth, I think, in my understanding of this. I used to take a position that was very hard line, that the clinical has no place, that medication has no place, that therapy has no place. I believe in the sufficiency of scripture. That is it. It's the beginning. It's the end. It's everything. And although I still believe that, the Bible is sufficient. It is God's word to us. It provides everything we need to not only understand life, but understand how to move forward in life and understand our purpose and the things that we talk about. I have come to understand that there is a benefit to clinicians, to medical professionals, even to medication if done correctly and if there's a plan for getting off of it and if it's used as a tool instead of an endpoint. Therapies as well. And bringing those two things together is sometimes frowned upon. It's called integration on one hand. I look at it not as integration, but that the starting point is faith and there are other tools that can help us to move forward. But a lot of Christian people have a hard time contextualizing that. And then people who aren't Christian people say, well, in the faith community, you dismiss these other helps. And so I'm not even going to consider what you have to say. How do you address that as you're dealing with folks and helping people work through that? And this may be unique to the military setting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it is, but it might be. But everyone I know that's come to our programs, over 4,000 people, started with the clinical and found us somehow, and we have to kind of deconstruct that. How do you work with that?
Yeah, I think quickly, at least in Christian circles, it can almost become a faith versus science kind
right.
of thing.
Sure.
And so I've sometimes that label of integration is thrown as a pejorative. I'll own it if what they mean is this, like I'll affirm the sufficiency of scripture, but scripture is not exhaustive. It's sufficient for what we need. It doesn't tell us how to do brain surgery.
Right.
It may give parameters right. for ethics and so forth, but we need to recognize all truth is God's truth. Scripture is our standard, and he gives a specific special revelation. But he's also created the world and created it in good. Yeah. And we can discover things yeah. within his created order, like medicine and new surgeries. I have a friend that was he wasn't a helicopter pilot in Blackhawks. He did something in the back with the shock trauma teams. And he has PTSD every time he hears the helos going. It's just, that's a trigger for him. And there's this new therapy. I Googled it actually. EMDR, that's right.
Yep.
And it's actually been successful for him. Well, I think we should praise God that we can discover some of these things like that. I get the skepticism that people have in faith circles. What is at play is that there are Christians that think that they have to lay aside their beliefs or something to that kind. And by no means do we have to right. do that. If we can discover a medicine that would cure the neurological pathways and give us new ones for addictions, we would be, not only would you be very rich, we would be buying it overnight and Christians would be all behind it.
Right.
So I think that's just one way, just a little bit of debunking and then better synthesis of understanding how our scriptures are standard, but it's not exhaustive. It is absolutely sufficient. Coming from the other end of the spectrum though, as somebody that's a non-Christian coming to this and seeing I'm missing something, I think a lot of what some of the roads that get to the transcendent are ways that we can sort of undercut and show somebody's worldview is insufficient. So the basic questions of where do we come from? Why is there something rather than nothing?
Right.
Why is there meaning? Where are we going? What's the end of it all? Those are questions that are very unsatisfactorily answered or not answered at all if you're coming from a strict medicine only scientific worldview. Science can't account for the beginning of all things or for meaning of life, but scripture can't.
Right.
And so I think there's definitely, there's roads, and some of the things, some of the truths, Jeremy, that we see all over the Marine Corps. I mean, you see Semper Fidelis. Well, faithful by what standard?
Yeah.
Or, you know, honor, yeah, courage, and commitment.
Yeah.
Why is it we have such a high value of sacrifice? Well, that wasn't just something that was merely evolved, and that's not something a pill can answer. That actually is embedded into you because you've been made as a creature in the image of God. But I'm sorry to ramble, get on my soapbox.
No, it's great. I think it's a really important conversation because I believe that over, I don't know, over the last 10 years, let's say, I don't know, Christians, the Christian community, particularly the Christian counseling community, is starting to understand what you just articulated a little bit better. Prior to that, and even, you know, through my years of growing up in the church, if you went to a therapist, if you considered clinical treatment for something that was considered, you know, mental or emotional, it meant you were turning your back on God, right? And that's not what it meant. But I think a lot of people didn't get help because of that. And I like to think of it as, if you're coming from it, coming at this from a clinical perspective, you're starting with the clinical and you're looking for tools to help, and faith may be one of those tools, where we would say the starting point is faith, and there are tools that may help you along the way. And so it's which end are you starting from? And understanding that, I think, can really give hope, because what is the hope? You're exactly right. If there's no transcendence, if we evolved and were some kind of a cosmic accident, then what's the point?
Right.
And a lot of people come to that place.
What are we doing here then?
Like, what are we doing here? When you talk to folks who are struggling with trauma, again, I agree with your premise. And in fact, that's how we operate, is from the premise that it's the broken relationships with people and with God, primarily with God. And that one then leads often to those broken relationships with people and with others, to then hopelessness and despair. When you're talking to someone, they show up in your office and sit down across the table from you, and they're going through this. They've been through some traumatic event or a series of traumatic events. Perhaps they're just finding themselves in, you know, some kind of a depression or a despair, and they don't know why, but there's something back there. There's something that's keeping them from moving forward. Understanding that this is common to all of us, where do you start that conversation, and how do you get someone to begin moving on the road? We'll say to healing. To me, it's really alignment with God, but how do you get them moving on that road? Where do you start, and what are some of the steps that you would offer?
Sure. Yeah. And people have come to me. I don't want to take my experience and say that this is common for everybody. I've been in a student family capacity, so it's not like veterans are who I'm primarily serving.
Right.
But the first thing is, I just want to affirm, like, tell that person, thank you for opening up and talking about
That's
this.
Good.
Because something that is for sure, this is a bit of anecdotal, but it's been experienced by so many people that I tend to think that this is probably the case, is that we often trauma to ourselves, or other people disqualify themselves because they think the only trauma that counts is if, like, I saw my friend's legs blown off and if I committed moral injury. And the truth is, rape can have a sexual trauma, can have PTSD side effects are just as strong as somebody who has witnessed somebody killed or combat experience. And there's even emotional trauma and triggers. There's spiritual abuse in the church. God, I don't know if you've heard of the Christianity Today is doing the rise and fall of Mars Hill. And there's ecclesial and spiritual abuse that took place. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, wow, there's real trauma that happens within the church oftentimes. But because it's not this kind of like physical trauma, it's dismissed as if, well, it's not worthy to be talked about. So the first thing I want to do, just affirm, thank you for opening up on this. The second thing I want to do is acknowledge that we're operating on a horizontal and a vertical dimension. The horizontal being broken relationships with each other and with the person that has wounded me or situation, and vertical being that ultimately our hope isn't going to be in being fixed. We may deal with triggers for trauma or experience for the rest of our lives, but our hope is ultimately in Jesus Christ. So I want to beeline into the gospel and put everything under the lordship of Christ and subservience to him, and saying, we're going to operate in this counseling session or multiple sessions, or if we hand you off to somebody else, but we're going to do it underneath the shadow of the Almighty, knowing that he is foremost amongst all. those are the first kind of two or three steps or rhythms that I want to consistently make Jeremy. And then from there, it really just depends on their story.
Right.
I think I'll mention this, and you want to follow it, you can. The church, the person in the pew is more equipped to love the person with trauma and more strategically located than we give ourselves credit for, and more at hand to minister to a person's life than a specialist. And so if the church can be equipped to think of themselves as general practitioners of loving their neighbor, then we have organizations and specialists that when we go through our practice, like, hey, there's something just deeper going on here. I don't know how to help you, but I'm going to continue to be a friend for you. I'm going to be there for you. And, but you need to get some professional counseling or XYZ.
Yeah.
Those are some of the rhythms and contours to follow, I think.
Yeah. I love it. Starting with that affirmation is so important. It's amazing. I would imagine you've experienced this as well. I'm sure you have, that someone that you know or served with takes their life and everyone around them says, I didn't see it coming. I didn't know what was happening. And then you dig a little bit deeper and the signs were there, but they did internalize it. I've said before that definitions are only helpful if they serve as a bridge to healing. And sometimes I think we define trauma so narrowly that people don't get the help that they need. A good friend of mine, chaplain friend, defines trauma as an event or series of events that pushes one beyond their ability to cope. That's it. So take away, observing death or near death and some of those other things that we talk about that would be clinically diagnosed. If you've experienced something that's pushed you beyond your ability to cope in daily life, that's traumatic and we need to deal with that. I think that's great. Start with the affirmation. Absolutely incredible. And then your point about the church, I have this conversation often with pastors and church leaders who will come to us because of what we do and say something like this. We don't feel equipped to counsel or serve the veterans in our church. Can you equip us? And then I'll step back and say, do you do any counseling of any other kind? Some churches don't. Yes, we counsel, and give all the categories. It's not different than that. Their service is what it is. They may hide behind it. Certainly having a veteran to broach that is helpful, but the church is equipped. If you know how to use the word of God to address the problems in life, even the deep ones, you are equipped. And I do make a distinction, and I think you just made that distinction between pastoral counseling and, perhaps deeper biblical counseling and the need for specialists, but certainly applying scripture, absolutely, in that church community, that's where the help can be found. And that's a great, great point.
I've noticed that the disqualifying factor of like, we don't know what to do. It's like, do you know how to say hi to somebody?
Right.
Yes. Do you not ask them for coffee or dinner? Yes. Treat them like you would treat another person. You don't have to think like they're this wounded duck and I've got to, I don't know what that is. I think part of it's in due to we've sensationalized violence and we made portrayed soldiers and Marines and airmen and movies and video games to be like these super soldiers that can, and like, we're just people.
Yeah.
We're just people. I just chose to, instead of going to college right away, I joined the military.
Right.
But I'm just a person, and we shouldn't do things like, hey, did you ever kill somebody?
Right.
Like, this is good. Let's get all the bad ideas out of the way.
Right. Right.
Like, let's not jump there. Why don't you just ask him, hey, why'd you join the military? Tell me about that. What was it like the first time you came home and you noticed like, wow, I'm different. And all of a sudden you're off and you're running and you're building a relationship.
Yeah.
Build a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. It is crazy. And watching in the church context, men and women get around folks who are struggling with various issues, things like, it's crazy. Things like drug addiction, sexual assault, violence, and those things. Well, you're probably not equipped to help with that either, but how to love them through it. But if a guy wore a uniform, then somehow it's different. And some of that is our fault as a veteran community. We've made ourselves a segment of society that people need to stay away from, and that's not helpful either.
Right. But, that's true. Yeah.
Man, so much good stuff here. Josh, we could talk for a long time. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again in a longer format. For those that want to follow you, want to learn about your work and certainly get your book, maybe point them to those places so they can get the resources they need.
Sure. Well, you can pick up the book. You can go to Amazon, just type Redeeming Warriors. It'll appear right above the romance novel, Viking Lover Warriors, like that.
Good, good.
You can go to, redeemingwarriors.com. And then on Facebook, I think I have an author page, Joshua D. Haller. And you can like that. And I drop shows and resources in there. I'm pretty selective. I don't spam people. You can go do those things.
Nice. Awesome. Josh, thank you so much for what you're doing. And again, look forward to having a longer conversation in the future. But thanks for doing it. It's such important work. And man, very much what we do. It's our heart here at the Mighty Oaks Foundation as well. So thanks for doing it. And look forward to talking again.
Appreciate it, brother.
I so appreciate Josh's perspective. So many of the topics that he brought up, I want to just lean into and spend all day talking about because he has such a clear mind on these, and we'll get him on. We'll talk again, of course. But make sure that you go to Amazon or wherever it is you buy books from and get the book Redeeming Warriors by Josh Haller. Redeeming Warriors by Josh Haller. Pick that up. It will be a help to you and or someone that you know. Make sure that you get that out to them. This perspective is the right perspective. Again, in my experience, it is a perspective of faith that allows us to see clearly the traumas, the trials, the difficulties, and the obstacles of life so that we can move forward in a hope-filled, purposeful way. Check that out, and I know it will be an encouragement to you. Very thankful that Josh would join me today. As we conclude, I'll conclude the way we do every week. Remember, in life, when the difficulties do come, and they will, when the enemy is attacking you, and the enemy will, you only have two choices. You can choose to stay where you are and die, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, just getting by, but not really serving the purpose for which you were created, or you can choose to march. What are you going to do? Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.